Good afternoon and welcome. Welcome indeed to hour number three of the Mark Mosey Show. Let's go over to Orlando and talk to this fine gentleman. And I saw him on Sunday, which feels like it was 17 weeks ago. But yes, it was this past Sunday. Magic get it done. They beat the Milwaukee Bucks and they clinched the 5 seed in the NBA playoffs, which is great to say. His name is Kyle Nash. He works for great publications like Sons of UCF, 3-Point Conversion, Jaguar Report, and more. Let's get him on. Kyle Nash, how you doing today, buddy?
An honor, joy, and privilege to step in with you, to see you recover, to have taken in a basketball game with you there with the Orlando Magic. And I'll only say, don't get the Suns irked. It's the black and gold banneret for me. You've been talking to our buddy Alex Lopez too much.
Oh, okay. All right. We are live on the radio. I apologize. This is one of those days where you go to the ballpark and you're like, I'm going to throw a no-hitter. And then I throw 7 home runs to the other team. So I will do this again. All right. And this will be edited. We are here with Kyle Nash. He is with, yes, Black and Gold Banneret, Jaguar Report, 3-Point Conversion, and more. I'm sorry. I do talk to Trace Trelko as well. I'm sorry, Kyle.
Hey, Trace Trelko's good people. And listen, maybe you gave up 7 homers, Mark, but we're still going to get 8 runs in this thing. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's been one of those days. So the question is, we'll start with the Magic. How excited, you've been covering them. How excited are you? This team won 47 games, won their division, and they're going to be the 5th seed. How big is this?
It's absolutely impressive. I mean, setting records for the franchise itself during the campaign in question, Mark Moses, right earlier in the year, setting a record, a new record for a 9-game win streak, better than anything the franchise has done before. Paolo Banchero being the first All-Star since what? Since Vucevic was in town?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big deal. The 9th, and this whole 9 thing kind of significant. The 9th All-Star in franchise history doing his thing. Franz Wagner emerging as a number 2 star in a way. It's absolutely fantastic. Jamal Mosley getting completely overlooked for Coach of the Year consideration here, considering all the injuries and such he's had to manage. Jonathan Isaac starting games. Markel Fultz is on the floor. Injuries are relatively minimal. Fingers crossed. It's a great time to be an Orlando Magic fan, Mark Moses, let me tell you.
You've been to a lot of big games in that arena. Was that, I know it was a regular season game, but was that one of the biggest games you've ever been to there?
Oh, clearly. Yeah, just the fact that they needed that dub to assure they dodged the play-in, that's a big deal. You didn't want to be in a position where you were staring down the barrel of, you know, facing another tough East team. And then, listen, I know they're talking about the other play-in game with, you know, the Bulls and all that being basically a sacrificial lamb game, but the Bulls have been dangerous at times to the Magic. All that risk, though, not even relevant. They skipped the play-in, and the Magic fans, like you said, the big game, biggest we've had in a while here in Orlando as far as playoff relevance. Not to mention, a lot of fun to see the Magic throughout the season have a few blowout wins against big teams. You know, your Lakers, for example, Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets fell here in Orlando. Just so much good stuff going on for the Magic this season, Mark.
All right, we're here with Kyle Nash. I know that's your name. I'm getting that right. I know that, okay? I can do that on the air. I can. It's getting late in the day. You take on Cleveland. Game one, this looks funny. Game one is Saturday on ESPN. They're on national TV once this year when they lost to the Thunder, when they retired Shaq's jersey. They're going to kick off the playoffs, a quadruple header Saturday, and then another one on Sunday. What do you think of this matchup, taking on Cleveland, the 4-5 matchup?
I mean, we'll start with the Magic. Defensively, they're a group that make any team that they play, it's going to be a tough day. You're going to have to get yours and pray that they have an off day defensively. There's nothing easy when you're playing the Orlando Magic. For Cleveland, they just feel off somehow. Like, granted, Donovan Mitchell is amazing. He's always a bucket. It's a fun time all the way around. But as for the up and down that they've had lately, it's really kind of hard to gauge. And listen, if you look throughout the NBA historically, the 5th seed pretty regularly, I'm not going to say always, obviously, home field or home court is important, and Cleveland has that, but that 5th seed semi-regularly does their job and puts the air quotes upset on. With Cleveland being cold at just the right time, that's something that works in the Magic's favor. And I know that the popular thing to think, well, Kyle, the Magic struggled on their way out too. Yeah. I think what's important to mention is we learned how important Franz Wagner is to this group. That ankle injury he was kind of nursing his way through towards the end of the season, happening to correspond with that 4-5 game struggle there they had for a while, some of the losses they had before that Bucks game, Mark. Got to tell you, I feel like we learned how important Franz Wagner was. He's healthy now. I think that matters. If he and Paolo do their job, everything will fall into place nicely, I think. This could be a 7-game series. Don't rule that out.
You make a great point. So Franz was out for multiple games. You remember he got injured two Sundays ago in that Chicago win with the ankle. He doesn't play at Houston. They lose horribly. He doesn't play Milwaukee. They play horribly. He plays last Friday against Philly, and they play better. Now they lose, and Philly's been a great team. You're right. Then he played that second half by Franz was fantastic. And he would have 25. Here's my thing. If I'm the front office, I go straight to ownership, Kyle, and I'm just like, all right, Supermax for Paolo and Supermax for Franz Wagner. And there's no hesitation. There's not going to be like, oh, well, maybe we'll. No. Both those guys, Supermax contracts, they're going to play for the Magic for 10 years. Do you feel that way, Kyle?
I think if they went that way, I wouldn't be mad at it, Mark. Certainly. Listen, the formula for so many teams in the NBA to have a big three. Listen, I know everybody wants to talk about Garnett and the Celtics in that group, or LeBron and in the Heat in that group having their big three and doing all of that. We all know it started with Jordan, Pippen, and Grant. That's right. I'm not even bringing up Rodman because they did it before Rodman was cool. Okay, the big three has always been a formula, and they have their two. They just need to lock in that third. Maybe they could find a way to get Klay Thompson out of what looks to be a declining and now allegedly dead Warriors dynasty. I'm just throwing it out there.
No, I'm not getting Klay Thompson. If I get Klay Thompson from 5 years ago, yeah, but I don't want the corpse of Klay Thompson. I'm sorry. I would not give him a big deal. Would you? For this team.
I don't know about him getting a big deal, Mark, but what I would do is consider him as a third option, right? Think of him as the Chris Bosh to the LeBron and Dwayne Wade. That's the analogy I use comparing it to the Heatles, right? If Klay Thompson is that third man, the Chris Bosh types, the guy that could get the big bucket and shoot from a distance, I think that's the way you work it now. As far as the money, hey, I wouldn't overpay for him. That's a good point. But if you're Orlando and you're in a space where everybody's dissing you, we're only just a few weeks ago from Colin Cowherd acting like the Magic weren't even relevant, you know, right? It's a whole thing where you might just have to overpay to get somebody like that. But if you make that push, Mark, and you get yourself into that space nationally, now's the time for Paolo actually basically to show out and maybe reduce the price of some of these contracts. Maybe some big free agent who could be the third guy out there will see this and be like, I want to play in Orlando where everybody vacations. It's not like Gus Malzahn now.
It's interesting, Kyle Nash, you want guard help who can shoot. Is that what you're trying to say here?
Oh, they've needed shooting for how long? I mean, name me a big guard play you've seen offensively. And I'm taking nothing away from my guys Cole Anthony and Jalen Suggs, right? But it's not something you can't think of a highlight lately other than DJ Augustine going back to that Raptor playoff win years back. Can you come up with something? I struggle there.
I see what you're saying from the standpoint of, I like the guards on this team, but it's not like, oh no, this dude dropped 37 on the Raptors. You know, oh man, they're not, and that's okay. Like, we're going to find out a lot about this team in this series. And I have been on record as saying this, Kyle, where I could see them losing game one, where they have no playoff experience and they get punched in the face. I could just see that. And I know it's cliche, get the split, get ready for game three. Do you feel that way?
Oh, hey, talk about cliches. Let me pile another one on there for you, Mark Moses. What? A series doesn't start till somebody wins a game on the road.
Yes.
And that could be game five when the Magic do that and start the series in Cleveland, right?
What's funny is you bring up the 4-5, you know, like, oh, sometimes the five wins, right? I don't trust, like, you look at the final standings. The jambalaya of the 2 seed, which is the Knicks, to, like, the 8th seed, which is what? What is it, Miami? What was the difference in the records? 2 games? 3? I don't. I told this to Dante Marcatelli Monday. I don't know if I trust any of these teams. Do you trust them?
I mean, the team. Here's what I will say, Mark. The team that I trust is Philadelphia. I feel like they're going to take care of business tonight. get into that play-in and face the Knicks. Okay, that's what I feel like is going to happen there.
Yeah.
Okay. If the Sixers can dodge the Celtics in the first round, give Embiid and company time to get their stuff together and face Boston as late as possible in the playoffs, because the longer that happens, the more time Embiid and company get to kind of merge and mold and reestablish chemistry, and more time he has to get right and all that. I think the more that favors Cleveland. Favors Philly. I'm not saying Philadelphia is going to win the Eastern Conference and supplant Boston, but I feel like they're the team that's other than Boston, right? It's kind of like when a Star Wars movie's out. You're looking at which movie performs number two at the box office after that, right? You know, I'm looking at Philly as to be that other threat in the East, taking nothing away from the other guys. But to your point, the other teams, especially with Milwaukee having no Giannis early, right? The other teams, because we had that cluster, there's so much parity in the East, Mark.
I really believe that Milwaukee decided, you know what, we're just going to lose the Magic. We don't want to take on Philly. And I think Cleveland did the same thing where they lost on Sunday to not have to take on Philadelphia. It's going to be interesting, and I can't wait. Dude, that game last night with the Lakers and Pelicans was so good theater-wise. Yeah. It got me hyped. Now I'm ready to watch this for two straight months. Did you see some of that game last night?
You know, the NBA is in such a good place, and that game is an example of it, Mark Moses. They have somehow the NBA has found themselves in a position where they have two kind of empire. They're not actual dynasties yet, Mark, obviously, because Denver's the defending champion, and Jason Tatum and company in Boston hasn't won anything yet. But they have two teams that feel almost monolithic in a way, like what, since the Warriors, perhaps? You know, going back to that, where you're sure, allegedly, air quotes, that they're going to be in the finals, those two teams, while also having parity literally everywhere else. It's such a sweet spot to be if you're the NBA, Mark.
We don't know how good Oklahoma City is. We don't know. They're the one seed. We don't know. There's all these teams like Minnesota. Are they going to be good? So many question marks. All right, that's the NBA. Like I said, game one, Magic, Cavaliers, ESPN. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. You do a great job also with Black and Gold Banneret. That's right. Kyle Nash, you were at the spring game last Friday night. Okay, there's no video. I can't find any best of clips. No one filmed the game. So please give me insight. What happened Friday night with the spring game?
So the way that works is they went back to the whole Knights versus Knox theme. Mm. So everybody got, you know, a little bit of their Knight uniforms in white and Knight uniforms in black. And then they had KJ Jefferson, who was no contact, as the prescribed starting quarterback in the space uniform this past year. And fortunately, because he was the only one there, we pretty much assumed he wasn't playing for North Carolina because he had that powder blue look. Anyways, he was the only player that was no contact. Everybody was live. And now the allegedly about to transfer Timmy McClain was playing for the Knights side, and KJ Jefferson was quarterbacking for the Knots. And overall, he had that presence that you would expect from a veteran guy. You would also see that same chemistry and uncomfortableness with certain situations as a guy that just came in would, who's developing chemistry with players on the squad, Mark, without having both starting receiver number one, Kobe Hudson, and starting running back R.J. Harvey. So he had a lot of good plays and a lot of good looks and some that made you scratch your head. There were two interceptions listed in the box score. One of them was not KJ's fault. The receiver was completely pickpocketed after the fact. A great play by a young DB. But what we actually saw at the end of the day was a good progression, a quarterback who's comfortable in a place, being a brand new guy who has an astonishing amount of touch for a dude his size, we'll put it that way. And then if chemistry issues could be worked out, could be pretty dangerous. And a defense, Mark Moses, that's more aggressive up front, which is exactly what you needed after seeing what Big 12 running backs did to them last season.
Wait a minute. So the backup quarterback's going to transfer? What?
Yeah, Timmy McClain is in the transfer portal.
All right, how about this? When I'm the commissioner of college athletics, how about we do the transfer portal then we do the spring game. How about we switch it up? How about we do something like that? So we're not, so you practice all spring with the team, you're in the spring game, then you're transferring. What? What's going on here?
Moreover, their last year's starting safety, Mekhi Martinez, is also in the portal as well. So, listen, there's so many people, whether it be coaches, whether it be Joel Klatt, whoever it is that just absolutely hate the calendar for college football that currently exists. It's a long list, Mark Moses. I'm more than happy to add your name to it that want to see people doing it differently.
I don't know what to do after a while covering recruiting. I don't like I have been doing this a long time, and I think it's like, all right, well, the early signing period's in December, then the actual signing day's in February. No, I think the signing trend, I think it's every day. You know what it's like? I said this comment earlier. We're here with Kyle Nash. So it's like the Gators, you have DJ Lagway, and he is getting hype, and I'm on the train. Like, I'm very excited for the Gators, okay? He is a recruit. He's on campus. He just was in the spring game. I still don't know. I don't know if I can trust him to be on the Gators long term. I don't know. Like, I think he's going to be part of the offense this fall. And it's like you're still recruiting an athlete even when they're on the roster playing for you. You don't know if you can trust the player. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, coach after coach I've talked to, you know, during bowl games when they're still trying to prepare for a bowl game and coach a bowl game while also somehow recruiting. Man, listen, I don't even know. But so many have voiced that opinion of trying to do all that and the biggest challenge being recruiting their own guys.
At least with KJ Jefferson, all right, he's got 1 year left. He's going to play, and then he's done, right? Like, and then no more transfer portal. After seeing the spring game, Kyle Nash, does it give you optimism for the fall?
Cautious optimism. You know, the offensive line is still, you know, working pretty strong. I think they have more returners this year than they've had lately. They didn't have to completely rebuild the O-line. That's a good start. But defensive line continued to build on the success they had with the defensive tackles, or I should say the defensive front. They had a number of transfers come in from places ranging from Vanderbilt to Idaho. Yeah, that's right. Your Idaho Vandals representing amongst the transfers.
Yeah.
But
We're playing a West Coast. Hey, we're playing a West Coast schedule this fall with all these teams. They'll be fine because we're playing Arizona and Utah and Colorado. I mean, we're the Pac-12 of I-95, right?
You know, you say all that, Mark, but what I think is funny, I honestly feel like last year they traveled more miles overall than they will this year, even going out to the West Coast there in the desert of Arizona, you know, to play a particular game, because Colorado's coming here.
Yeah.
You know, the home slate closes up with Utah coming here to the bounce house, so they have that much going for them.
We'll end with this here with Kyle Nash. Does a great job with multiple publications. Black and Gold Banneret, Jaguar Report, 3-Point Conversion. I learned 20 minutes ago, not Sons of UCF, even though they're cool too. But yes. All right. Here's my thing. There's not that new car smell of, oh, we're in the Big 12. Because we talked about that all offseason. Now it's like, all right, yeah, we're in the Big 12. Do you feel that way as well? We're done with that. Now we're here to just talk football.
Oh, not only do I feel that way. Listen, talking to veteran guys, Brandon Adams amongst the defensive back core, and Jared Baker amongst the receivers, the guy who's there, this is going to be his fifth year. Mm. They both have expressed to me how they have that, hey, you know, we made the jump. We show that we can participate in the physical play. Even when some of the personnel groups weren't as big as they needed to be, especially with the linebacker core last year, not to throw them under the bus, but, you know, there's a reason why they struggled so hard against the run. You know, they now have a taste of what the travel's like, what the ambiance is like, what kind of stuff they're facing when they're on the road, what they have to expect on the field, you know, when you have guys, essentially, I think I can think of at least three Big 12 running backs off the top of my head that don't include UCF's RJ Harvey that could be NFL bound. Facing that next level of talent was something I think they had to get used to doing, and they're built. Even though their record wasn't what they wanted it to be last year with the 6-7 finish there after what happened in the bowl game, against Georgia Tech, they are more confident because they have that under their belt.
I have something to tell you. I've just entered the transfer portal for radio. I'm sorry. You're going to have to... I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm going to get some NIL money over here so you can join one of my networks and we can do a podcast together. It worked for J.J. Redick and LeBron James, right?
I love we're at the game, and you asked me about that. What do you think of this podcast? I'm like, I don't. There's my answer. I don't. All right, so you're taking Philadelphia tonight. You're taking them over the Heat. And then who wins the late game, Bulls and Hawks? Who you got?
I mean, I'm going to say the Bulls, but I'm kind of with the rest of the public on that, too. It's a sacrificial lamb game. I'm not necessarily – I'm going to opt to get some sleep.
Oh, really?
after the pause I have this evening with the student of the game and the Duval dive, bang, you know, let's get some rest. I got two kids I got to wake up tomorrow morning, Mark.
Come back on, and we'll recap the draft. In a couple weeks. Yeah, we're here with Kyle Nash. Appreciate you coming on. Yeah, come on in a couple weeks, and we'll continue this conversation. All right, man?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it now. Glad to do it.